This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Been breaking down LSU baseball, getting ready for a big matchup against the Texas Longhorns coming up tomorrow. You can hear right here on WWLA, 7 o'clock first pitch. Happy to welcome in now SEC Network baseball analyst and former LSU Tiger and major leaguer Todd Walker to the radio huddle. Todd, how you been doing, man, this baseball season?
Everything's great. I'm in the Cayman Islands right now, so things are good.
Sounds like a nice place to watch some baseball. What have you been seeing from these Tigers this year, man? They have been so impressive, obviously off to a scorching hot start to the year. 21 on the season, 3-0 in league play, and getting ready to go into Austin for a tough matchup against Texas.
Yeah, with the transfer portal now, everybody wants to play in the SEC, and more specifically, they want to play for LSU. So you knew this was coming. They built it up last year. They've lost their weekend starters last year, but you know, we don't live in a day and age anymore where you rebuild. It just, you just repower, man. I mean, they've got four legitimate starters this year, you know, with the guys that they have with Kate Anderson, Chase Shores, and Anthony Ianson, the transfer out of UC San Diego. And then they're grooming William Schmidt, the kid out of Catholic High School, you know, as a freshman. He might be the most talented pitcher on this really ridiculously good staff. So, I mean, last year they had problems on the third starts on weekends. The Sunday guy, they couldn't find him. This year they look like they're in position to do that. This will be a good test this weekend against Texas. They're at Texas, which obviously makes a big difference when you're on the road.
Yeah, just curious for you, you've been around the SEC. What's that atmosphere in Austin like? Is it pretty much just like a Saturday or, I mean, a Friday night in Alec Box Stadium?
100%. You know, we went over there when I played at LSU. It clearly wasn't a conference weekend, but it was a big-time series, you know. And I remember they had some arms like they have this year. You know, you're going to – it's real baseball now. You know, you're not going to throw up 12, 15 runs a game. The three stars that Texas have, Jared Spencer, Luke Harrison, and they put a to be announced on Sunday, but it'll probably be Jason Flores. All of them have sub 1-2 ERAs. Jared Spencer, their ace, has only given up one run at home, two earned runs in 15 innings pitched, and Luke Harrison, the number two, is right behind that. So Texas as a whole at home only give up about three runs a game, and LSU scoring on the road, 9 runs a game. Now, it's only been, I think they've only played 4 road games, but the offense that LSU has versus the pitching staff and the defense that Texas has, that's the matchup that's going to be fun to watch this weekend.
Yeah, the Tigers' bats right now leading the SEC, batting .345. A kid that's been so impressive, just one co-freshman of the week, was Derek Curiel. What have you seen from this guy? It's hard to put into words what exactly he's been able to do year one at LSU.
Patience. You know, I've always said the more you face a pitcher, the more it becomes a hitter's advantage, both as at bats or pitch by pitch. Because you see his release point, you got the tempo, you got the timing going. And there's nothing he can fool you with after you've seen, you know, enough of his pitches. That's why it used to be a little less difficult back when starters would go 7 or 8 innings. But now they're you know, both in college and the big leagues, they're doing matchups now where if you face a starter, it's only going to be twice, and then you go to a guy you haven't seen. So what Derek Curiel does a nice job of, we've got this cool little app now called True Media. I mean, they'll give you just about every stat that you could possibly imagine. So for Derek Curiel, he's seeing 4.3 pitches per plate appearance average, which means he's got at-bats where he's getting 6, 7, 8 pitches. And again, when you're seeing that type of deal, plus he's got a 90% contact rate. Every time he makes a move to the baseball, he's pretty much putting it in play. There's not a whole lot of foul balls. And so, you know, he was perfect games, number one top freshman in college. So it's not out of nowhere. But, I mean, to do it, you know, with all the accolades that he had coming in out of California, it's pretty impressive. But, I mean, he's a contact guy with a lot of patience. He doesn't hit for a lot of power, but you don't need him to do that up at the top of the lineup. But he's been impressive.
Yeah, talk about power. The guy, Jared Jones, the Bear, back this season. Really surprised that he wasn't ended up going in the MLB draft. Happy, though, he is back this year with the Tigers. And it really seems he's gotten developed more patience at the plate, not striking out as much this year for sure.
Yeah, he's only got, what, 12 strikeouts in about 100 plate appearances, which is pretty good. I mean, you want to be around that 10 or 15%, you know, strikeouts per plate appearance, and Jared's at that spot. You're right. He was a lot of swing and miss in this kid over the last couple of years. But now for Jared Jones, if Derek Curiel is patience, Jared Jones is confidence. I mean, you know, when you come back for your, for, you know, after you've already had a big year, for another year of college baseball, you feel like you're just, you know, swinging the hammer of Thor, and that's what Jared Jones is doing. Plus, if you've been standing next to that kid, I mean, he looks like an offensive lineman. I mean, he is a big dude. 424 with 8 home runs. He's going to hit 30 home runs. 25 or 30 home runs this year. The OPS, the slugging plus on-base percentage is off the charts at like a 1.3. You know, I mean, it's just amazing what Jared Jones does. And then you got Daniel Dickinson, the transfer in, right behind him. The 1-2-3 in this LSU lineup, who, like you mentioned, is the best in the SEC. And that's saying a lot because the SEC is the best conference in college baseball. Those top three are ridiculously good.
Yeah, looking at the Texas Longhorns, surprisingly, I saw their batting average just .296 as a team. I know they're led at the plate by Ethan Mendoza, but what are some also the highlights that could be dangerous in this Longhorns team that could be a matchup problem for LSU?
Well, like I talked about with Derek Curiel, remember the big controversy with Jim Schlossnagel coming over from Texas A&M? Well, his teams are patient. As a team, you know, Texas leads the league and most, you know, seeing pitches. So he gets the concept of what I said, which is the more pitches you see, the better off you're going to bleed. And you, if you can get nine, if you get all nine of your guys to buy into that idea, then wow, man, I mean, what a deal. And so he, it was Texas A&M led the league last year, not only the league, the nation, and most pitches seen, and most walks. And Texas is along that same lines now with Schlossnagel coming over. Ethan Mendoza's, yeah, hitting over 400. They don't have a lot of pop. I mean, they got 29 home runs on the year. They spread it out between about 10 guys. Ryland Galvin has 7 home runs. He leads the team. But LSU definitely has the more talented offense. But they're going on the road. And, again, they've only played 4 games on the road this year. So it'll be a good test to see how they can do in that hostile environment over there because it matters. I mean, you know, if you're at the plate – and you got people screaming at you, you know, it's hard to concentrate. And, by the way, when the other team's pretty good, it's different when you play a mid-major. It's going to be tough for them.
I know it's easy to say this when the team's winning, but, man, this LSU team definitely seems to have that swag about them, you know, that confidence. And they're having a lot of fun, these guys. You can just tell, enjoy not just the game, but being around each other. Like I said, though, they haven't really faced that adversity yet. And just curious to find out, how they're going to obviously get tested this weekend in Austin, but just overall how they end up reacting when they do get punched in the face.
That's exactly the term I was going to use. It will happen at some point this year. They're 21-1. They're not going to go 50-2. You know, they're going to have a stretch, and you want to shorten that stretch, but they're going to have a stretch where they get punched in the mouth a little bit, and then how you react makes all the difference. But, you know, it just seems like this team is just loaded all the way around. There really is no weak spots, whether you look at, you know, base running or offense or the pitching staff or the bullpen, or defensively, they're good too. Michael Braswell is the only guy you can point to who's still in the lineup. He's only hitting .214, but he hit over 300 in SEC play last year, and a big reason why they were able to have some success at the end of the year. So that's why he's still in the lineup. But he's a good defender. and he's a 300 hitter, so I think he'll pick it up. But the rest of the guys, my gosh, I mean, they got guys on the bench hitting 400, like Ethan Frye, who, you know, gets in and out of there. Tanner Reeves on the bench hitting 344. So, I mean, they've got a load of talent that they can plug in there if somebody struggles in the short term. But this is a team that went 3-12 in the SEC play and still made it one game away from the Super Regional last year. And they're just way, way better this year.
What can you tell us about Jay Johnson, man? I mean, it seems like the, you know, him coming to LSU, just another great hire. And in the long the lines of, you know, we've had Skip Bertman, we've gone on to Paul Maneri, and now Jay Johnson. It's like we're spoiled here.
Yeah, you know, Skip was a great motivator, but he was a pitching guy. You know, I mean, I don't know that I got a lot out of him offensively, although he was fantastic at reading the game and kind of being able to tell you certain things that were going to happen before they even happened. Jay Johnson's an offensive guy. That's why he's got Nate Yeske there as a pitching coach, who some people think is the best in the country. You know, those two were together at Arizona. And so Nate Yeske does a fantastic job. And you got to remember, there's a big turnover in college baseball. So you're having to learn personalities year in and year out. Nate's only been there a couple of years. So, I mean, he's done a great job this year with that pitching staff and figuring out who can start, who's the bullpen pieces. They're going to have to find a closer at the end of these games eventually. They've certainly got some options, but I think Jay is just relentless. You know, he sleeps at the office from what I understand, and just wears this stuff out with the analytics and everything else that's going on this day and age. And he knows the game. There's a lot of college coaches that know the game, but I think without really actually being there, I think Jay Johnson just outworks everybody, you know. And by the way, he's working with a good group. Again, everybody wants to play for LSU. He's got a top three national recruiting class year in and year out. And they're performing. You know, you got to find out who can perform just on, you know, just because they're on paper. Luis Hernandez hit 350 last year at Indiana State, or last 3 years, with like 20 something home runs. He's hitting 264 this year. So there's certain guys, you know, you got to see if it translates. For the most part, it has.
Yeah, non-conference play throughout the SEC really felt like it was kind of preseason for most of the squads here. A lot of top-tier talent all around. We know in this conference it's a gauntlet to go through. But just wondering, besides, you know, we know LSU, obviously here we focused on the most. But overall, what are some of the other teams that have really stood out to you that could be a problem for the Tigers going down the road?
Well, see, I haven't looked completely at their 10-game SEC or 10-week SEC schedule, but Alabama looks the part. I mean, they only lost their first game before they just jumped into SEC play. They're 3-0. They went in and swept the preseason number one team in A&M. Now, A&M's not playing like they're capable, but Alabama really looks good with that shortstop, you know, who's a sophomore this year, LeBron, is just killing it. I think he's got like 12 home runs in 20 games. Alabama's got a pitching staff that can sustain them throughout the year. They look good. Tennessee, the national champions, of course, have a sub-2 ERA as a team. They're pitching it. They only have a couple of offensive pieces back from last year's national championship team, Tennessee, but they're rolling. They're swinging the bats as good as anybody. If you have to pick from the rest of the group, you know, you always like Kentucky, even though they're, I think they're 1-2 right now, but, you know, Nick Mangione does a nice job with that group. They always seem to be having fun. They made Omaha for the first time in program history last year. They've got a lot of parts back. Arkansas is always going to be in the thick of things. They're 2-1 after beating Ole Miss last weekend. Not a fan of Vanderbilt this year, even though then traditionally Tim Corbin has had those guys playing better at the end of the season. They just don't swing the bats well enough, and they don't have an ace. Ole Miss has one of the best pitchers in the country. And Hunter Elliott, who made that run with Dylan DeLucia back when they won the national championship in 2022. Hunter Elliott's back and healthy. He'll give them a great opportunity to win in these regionals when you know, it's two losses and you're out. I don't know offensively if Ole Miss can get it done, but obviously we're looking at the best conference college baseball, who now added Texas and Oklahoma, 16 teams. The Southeastern Conference has won six of the last seven national championships and by six different teams. So that shows you how strong this conference is.
Todd, definitely appreciate the time. You always drop some great knowledge on us, and definitely appreciate you joining us from the Cayman Islands, man. Hope to be seeing you around the box this season.
Thank you, and tell Bobby we miss him.
Oh, for sure. Todd Walker, SEC Network analyst, a legend, MLB stud too, played for LSU, joining us there. Always great to hear from him.